This is Vatican Radio. I'm Veronica Skersbrig. I'd now like to focus on the Advent season by bringing you a conversation I had recently with Monsignor Peter Fleetwood from the Liverpool Archdiocese, who's an expert in interreligious dialogue and has often been entrusted with parishes across England.
Advent is probably the most pleasant but misunderstood season in the church year, because I think most of the people where I've been parish priest and where I've worked in parishes and schools are under pressure from the culture that surrounds us to be in Christmas mode a month before Christmas happens. But really, I've tried to help people over the years to understand that there's a lot to be gained from keeping to Advent, in the sense of not having Christmas songs until as close as possible to Christmas, not putting too many decorations up until Christmas is there itself. Christmastide is different from Advent, but unfortunately our culture, because of commercial pressure, I think mainly, and the pressure of organising things in schools to suit the school rather than to suit the faith, makes people think of Christmas far too early, whereas that means you miss out on all that lovely sets of readings and songs and meditations that are all to do with expectancy and waiting for the coming of the Lord rather than pretending he's here already and then having to have a strange experience on Christmas Day when you wonder what it's all about.
You spoke about the commercial side to Christmas, and there's this cliche that we've taken Christ out of Christmas, no?
People often say that, and people have even given me signs to put on my car saying, keep Christ in Christmas. Well, I'm all for keeping Christ in Christmas, obviously, but I don't think he has disappeared. Of all the feasts in the year, I think people in Northern Europe, certainly in America, if they forget all the other feasts, one they never forget, even if they're not Christians, is the birth of Christ. There are a few cases, and that they're always highlighted every year, especially by people running radio stations and newspapers and television programmes, of people who say, well, I don't really know what it's about. I think the majority and most families still are aware of Christ being involved in Christmas, obviously. The only thing is, the appearances now seem to be indicating that there are a lot of people who don't want to mention Christ at Christmas. More and more people are telling me that it's very hard to find a Christmas card which is about Christmas as such. It's very easy to find cards about robins and camels and snow scenes and whatever, but to find a proper Christmas card in the shop to be able to send one to your friends, that is getting more difficult, but I think that's only part of the picture. If I speak to people, they genuinely do see something special, even if they don't always understand it, in remembering the birth of Christ.
I know you've worked a lot in interreligious dialogue. Do people ask you what Advent means, what Christmas means?
I think sometimes we're in the bizarre situation in my own home country, England, where we're quite apologetic, and people say we mustn't thrust our beliefs down anybody else's throat. I don't think we've ever really done that, and I don't think it's a realistic expression of the state of affairs. A few years ago, the people in one part of the country wanted to change the name of the Christmas holidays to Winterval, the winter interval. They wanted to have those two words in one, the Winterval, rather than Christmas. And the people who complained the loudest were Sikhs and Muslims and other religions all in the West Midlands. They banded together and they told the local council, don't be ridiculous. We may not be Christians, but we actually quite enjoy Christmas, and we love our Christian friends to celebrate their feasts as we celebrate ours. So there's a great respect, I think, when we stick to our church year. I don't know if they know what Advent is about, but I certainly think they do respect our attachment, or sometimes an emotional attachment, but sometimes a very pious attachment to remembering the birth of Jesus.
If, for example, a Muslim or a Sikh were to ask you what is Advent, what would you reply?
Well, I think the first thing I would do is say that we remember certain figures in our faith more than anything else. The first one is St. John the Baptist. He's the first one who appears in the Advent masses that we celebrate on the Sundays leading up to Christmas. And he is the one who prepares the way of the Lord. In English culture, I think a lot of people are aware of a piece of music, an oratorio written by Handel called The Messiah. And in there are lots of pieces of scripture put to music. And most of the pieces of scripture are ones we listen to on the days and weeks before Christmas. It's the announcement of the coming of the Saviour. So I think I would say to people who didn't know much about Christianity that they should, if they want to know more, find out who John the Baptist was and what he was trying to say. He was like a voice in the wilderness preparing a pathway for the Lord, using words that came from the prophet Isaiah. The second person that comes to mind in Advent, and this is probably the most beautiful part of Advent, is Mary, the mother of Jesus. It's a season of expectancy. She, like any mother, as the time came close for her to have her child, would be excited, probably a bit worried. The first child, what's it going to be like? How is the baby going to be? And I think Muslim women just because they're women, can all tune in to that part of the season much more than I can. But even I am always overjoyed when I meet women who are very close to giving birth, and they very often ask for a blessing. There's so much involved in those months and weeks leading up to a birth that it's a really tremendously special human experience. And to be close to Mary is something that a lot of Christian families who still try to celebrate Advent try to do very consciously. She is one of the figures they hold very close in their hearts.
And Christmas?
Christmas, I think the person who said most about Christmas, funnily enough, comes from Italy, and that's St. Francis. One year he asked his friend Giovanni to lend him a cave and also to help him gather the people together from the valley near a little town called Greccio.
In Umbria.
In Umbria, yeah, between Rieti and Assisi. And good enough, it snowed on the night before Christmas, and apparently the scene was very touching, and it's a scene that has become part of Christian culture, certainly in Europe, and sometimes it's been transported to other continents, even though the weather is a bit different. The scene is of snow in the night time and people carrying lamps. What that recalls is the people coming from the different farms and villages and towns, all coming to this place because they'd heard through Giovanni and Francis that there was going to be a different celebration of Christmas this year. And some of them brought their animals from the farms, and one person even brought a brand new baby. And Francis's job that night was, he was a deacon, he wasn't a priest, Francis. He read the gospel, and according to Tommaso di Celano, who wrote the life of St. Francis, you could have heard a pin drop. People were so struck by the presence of animals, children, people wrapped up against the weather. It was all done at the dead of night for the midnight mass. Francis wanted to tell people, without words, but with pictures of the pictures were the other people with them, the image, the sight, and the sounds and the smells, that when Jesus was born, it didn't just change human history, it touched everything that had ever been created. And that's the great insight of St. Francis, which, funnily enough, I think was one of the reasons that our new Pope chose his name. He spoke to the press after he was elected, and he said, Francis is the poor man, Francis is the man of dialogue, and Francis is the man of creation. And don't we have a shocking relationship with creation nowadays? I think Pope Francis, has been struck, as I have, by St. Francis's desire to respect everything God ever made. And that comes to a focal point in a very beautiful way in that living crib that was first experienced at Greccio. And I think many people have tried to recreate in paintings, or even having a living crib outside their church in parts of London or wherever you are in the world. To have that little insight of Francis brought back to us at Christmas time is beautiful. And I think it says a lot to people.
Here in Italy, they have these little cribs in their homes, which stem from that time, no?
Yeah, I think I'm extremely grateful for my time in Italy, for understanding where the crib notion came from, and I'm very amused and also very delighted, if I'm ever here around Christmas time, to go around the churches and see the way they all compete to have the best crib and the biggest crib and the most colourful one, the one with the most moving parts.
But not just in churches, though, in homes,
no,
too.
No, all sorts of places, yeah. It's quite a... It has affected people, I think, and people hang on to that because it's a beautiful insight.
And, of course, children here don't write to Father Christmas, they write to baby Jesus.
Well, good for them.
To get presents at Christmas.
That's great.
And warm thanks there go to Monsignor Peter Fleetwood. I'm Veronica Scaresbrick.